You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
One bright and guiding light that taught me wrong from right, I found in my mother's eyes. Those baby tales she told, that road all paved with gold, I found in my mother's eye.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Lest we forget, tomorrow is Mother's Day. That was My Mother's Eyes, which we play.
Than Frankie Valli, your hero.
Oh, that's for sure. Well, anyway, a beautiful song and a beautiful occasion. So we would like to, I think, on behalf of the entire TPC team, wish a very happy early Mother's Day to the two mothers that are with us tonight, Janice and, of course, my wife as well. Also want to Sam Bushman's wife, who has given him 8 beautiful children. They celebrated their 28th anniversary just yesterday. My wife and I celebrated our 14th this year, this week. Sam, number 28 and counting. Good people all. Well, listen, we are going to round the bend in just a moment and hand the show over to the Hamblins. And we're going to take you an extensive deep dive into South Africa, something we haven't done in quite some while. Rich has traveled the country extensively, having taken how many trips there now, Rich? Two trips. And
Rambling with the Hamblins.
But now, when they say a trip, it's not like the way me and you go on a trip, where it's like maybe for a weekend, or if you're lucky, a week. How long were y'all were there? A month?
3 weeks
both times. Well, we'll round up. That's the way we do it here. Anyway, let's go over a couple of quick headlines, and then we're going to get after it. We're going to be rambling with the Hamblins, as you said, Keith. Firstly, well, let's just a very quick hit. No need to spend too much time on this because this trend's already been established. But Samaritan's Purse was expelled from New York City for being a hate group. So this is a Christian charity led by Franklin Graham, the scion of Billy Graham. And they were operating a field hospital there in New York to help the people there who were sick by coronavirus or whatever else. But the Samaritan's Purse is packing up its makeshift hospital in Central Park after the city of New York called it a hate group that was no longer welcome there in the city that never sleeps. So basically a Christian charity led by Franklin Graham, who were helping the sick voluntarily in New York, been labeled a hate group and is forbidden to continue to help the sick in New York. And to that I say good. The church needs to be persecuted. These people need to toughen up and realize that we share the same enemy. It is time for muscular Christianity, the life we haven't had really since the time of Dabney and Jackson and Lee. But Keith, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, Franklin Graham is not Dabney or any of these other people that we're talking about. But it shows that it doesn't matter how slavishly you bend the knee to the left. If you're a white Gentile, you are always in jeopardy of being considered a hateful, racist person. And so I'd like to find out exactly what it was that Samaritan's Purse, what tenet of political correctness they transgressed.
It was their opposition to homosexuality. That is just one of the most basic fundamentals of Christianity. I mean, any fledgling Christian knows that is forbidden in the Bible, and because... You know, Franklin Graham, unlike a lot of Christians, at least you're right. I mean, Franklin Graham wouldn't be mistaken, and certainly Billy wouldn't. I guess Franklin Graham, you could say, well, at least he supports Trump, which, you know, that puts, you know, a lot of them don't anymore. But, you know, the fact that even Franklin Graham still to this day will speak biblical truth on homosexuality puts him just as much as a pariah as any of us.
Well, I've got another idea. You know, it's not just Christianity.
And that's what it was, by the way. That's what it was that got him thrown out of New York.
Well, Christianity is not the only major world religion that opposes homosexuality. Islam does also. What is the Islamic group they're going to kick out? Well, obviously, they've got a double standard. You know, go get in touch with Hamas or with some other Muslim group and ask them how they feel about homosexuality, and I guarantee you, you'll hear something that would make Franklin Graham's opposition to it sound like weak as grandma's iced tea.
Well, while we're on the topic of Christian opposition to homosexuality, which is what got Franklin Graham and his group kicked out from being able to help the sick in New York. I mean, that's all they were there to do on their own dime, by the way. But
well, at least they'll save money now.
So there was an old Bill Murray movie called Stripes where he joins the army, and the tagline on the poster was, he joined the army to serve his country and meet girls. You know, that's the tagline. Well, they've updated that now for 2020. The New York Times ran an article. This is actually a story that's a year old, but it was just sent to me. So it's, you know, if you haven't heard it, maybe it'll be news to you too. In 1829, Robert E. Lee, by the way, graduated West Point without receiving a single demerit. Now, here is West Point now. The New York Times ran an article last year, for love of country and each other. And it's caption reads, Captains Daniel Hall and Vincent Franchino, both active duty helicopter pilots, are married at West Point. Has a picture of them kissing. Ain't that sweet?
Well, I tell you what, it's a bridge too far. They're going to offend West Point. Blacks. They're going to offend Muslims, and they're going to offend fundamentalist Christians at the very least with this type of stand. So they're basically going a bridge too far, but let them go a bridge too far.
Well, okay, let's talk about West Point from the time of Robert E. Lee to where we're at now.
Well, it's obvious that all of the service academies, they have this guy named Gary Roughhead, an admiral, who is trying to diversify the U.S. Naval Academy. There's not a liberal bandwagon he won't enthusiastically jump on. Same for the U.S. Army West Point and for the U.S. Air Force. So basically, if I were you and I had children who were of the appropriate age to enlist in the U.S. military, I would say, think again. Don't get in there. Why would you want to subject yourself to that? You're going to possibly take a bullet for an organization that is going to use affirmative action against
you. Well, and you know, the Commandant of the Marines just this week said he's going to ferret out root and stem anybody that thinks positively of the Confederacy, for instance. That was
well, that's wonderful.
That
yeah, and see what they're going to have left.
They wouldn't
army.
Have anybody left in the army because it's only Southern boys in there. You know, after you get past the lesbian admirals.
What they're going to do is, I mean, I'm sure they've got the Chinese and the Russians shaking in their boots thinking about this new diverse armed forces that the Americans were going to throw into battle against.
Speaking of diversity very quickly, so Joe Biden, now he hasn't come out of his basement since February, but he is the Democratic presumptive nominee. And he has said that no white men need apply to be his running mate. The vice presidential candidate on the Democratic ticket in 2020 will be a woman. There's no doubt about it. He's already said it's guaranteed to be a woman. That doesn't necessarily have to be a woman of color, as they put it, but that certainly would be preferable. And one of the leading candidates, can you believe it? Now, Joe Biden's 78. He's already said he's not going to go two terms. He's already in full throne dementia, by the way. I'll tell you who one of the leading candidates is to be his running mate, according to the media.
This
is the media. Close, close. We'll be right back. We'll fill you in if you don't already know. Stay tuned.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Searching, searching, every night and day, if we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Well, we got one more segment, and then we're going to start rambling with the Hamblins. As Keith put it, Janice is going to take over for the last half of this hour. She's going to give us some good pointers on male-female dynamics, and it's basically a continuation of her appearance on the Valentine's Day show where we had Ladies' Night back in February. We're looking forward to that, and then Rich... another report from his observations from South Africa, always interesting. We did a couple of shows with Rich the first part of last year, but it's been a while since we've checked in on South Africa with him, so that's coming up in the third hour. And he's going to tell you what Jack didn't tell you last week. Now, Jack was, of course, he's on vacation and still on vacation, but Rich has seen some things that Jack hasn't had the opportunity to see, and we'll get to the bottom of that in the third hour. So stay tuned for it all tonight, folks. But, yeah, so Biden is 78 years old. He will be older, I think, than Ronald Reagan was when he left office.
He will be the oldest person ever to run for president. If he's elected, he'll be the oldest guy upon election.
Okay, and so he's already said he's not going to run for re-election. He's going to be a one-term transitional candidate. And he's
probably a one-month transitional
candidate. He has said that no white men need apply. Now, Sam Bushman was saying he ought to be sued for discrimination for that, saying no white men need apply, that white men won't even be considered. Could you imagine?
That's what we thought the 64 Civil Rights Act said back when it was passed, and then we found out that it was basically just something that could be used against white people.
Yeah, right. I mean, imagine a candidate saying, you know, nobody's going to be considered but a white man, and see what happens. Well, anyway, Joe Biden is entering into senility. I don't say that because I don't
entering
like him.
He's a long-term resident of senility.
But, I mean, we don't say that because we don't care for his politics. We say that because the video evidence fleshes it out. Well, anyway, he's already said it will be a woman. Not necessarily a person of color, although that would be preferable. And Stacey Abrams is one of the ones that are really one of the front runners.
We'll be begging for Ramaphosa of South Africa to be our president after a year of her. I tell you, it's crazy.
So God help us if that happens. I mean, I tell you what, a lot of the alt-right who left the Trump bandwagon will be back on in a hurry if Abrams, because whoever is his, if he doesn't get too sick to serve, which is very much a possibility. Whoever's the vice president
in there, because they can pull the plug on him whenever they want to.
Whoever's the vice president is going to be the next president if Biden wins. Anyway, so that's what's going on the Democratic side. So, God, Okay, so 33 million. It's up to 33 million unemployed. I said, you know, we need to get serious about combating this scourge. We need 100% unemployment. I think nothing less than 100% unemployment is really going to beat coronavirus. We're only at 15% right now. 33 million people, though, have lost their jobs. 33 million. And a lot of those are jobs that are never going to come back. It's sad. Obviously, I'm saying that.
They're tanking the American economy and the Western economy on purpose, trying to basically pave the way for one world government. The fact that first world countries are so much more prosperous than second and third world countries, that's going to end due to the coronavirus. That is the plan. I predict it.
Well, I have a member of my family who recently had triplets. Now, I tell you that because there is a bill that Fox Business claims is gaining traction in the Senate, and it's a Democratic proposal to give $2,000 per month to every American retroactive to March, regardless of whether you have a Social Security number or filed taxes. And if you have children under three, it's an additional $2,000 a head. So my cousin would actually get $10,000 a month under this proposal.
This is for people that don't want to work and want to be in a perpetual state of childhood. And there are a lot of them out there, unfortunately. We're finding out more and more people fit that profile.
So, I mean, every American adult earning under $120,000 a year, I don't think the Democrats are seriously thinking this will get passed, but imagine the GOP opposing such gives in an election year. I mean, that's what they're doing it for. I mean, they're not going to get $2,000 a head. I mean, although I'd certainly cash the check, don't get me wrong.
Well, look, all you have to do is get out your Monopoly game and get that money. That's what they're giving out. That's what the American dollar will be worth if they do this, because, you know, the rest of the world is going to have to call a halt to all this foolishness. We're just printing up money. We have no basis for it, and quite frankly, the Chinese are already on the verge of declaring that they're no longer on the dollar standard, and when that happens, basically, you ain't seen nothing. If you think you've seen economic suffering before, you wait until that ship sails.
There was something intelligent I was going to say about that. Well, what I was going to say was the greatest tragedy of this whole thing has been the loss of employment by the working and middle class here in America. I mean, the worst part for us, Janice brought this up a moment ago. How many people since January 1st have died as a result of suicide, and how many have died as a result of the coronavirus? Now, we're going worldwide on these numbers, and we're taking, I looked it up during a break, we're taking the WHO and the CDC's numbers. So don't, you know, they can't say we're going to one of our sources for these numbers, one of these quote-unquote unreliable sources. We're going to use their numbers for this exercise, and there have been 280,000 global deaths to date. This is current, as a result of the coronavirus. And although I do think that those numbers are grossly inflated, and there have been 381,000 global suicides this year. So already over 100,000 more suicides than deaths attributed to the coronavirus since January 1st. And the reason we bring that up is there's going to be a lot more suicides as a result of people who can't put food on the table, people who have lost their jobs, lost their self-worth, lost their self-esteem as a result of these completely, I think, unnecessary shutdowns.
People that have any self-respect and want to earn their own living and support their own families are the people at risk for this. Unfortunately, there is a large number of Americans now that don't fit either part of that profile. They're willing to be perpetual children. They're willing to be on the dole forever, and they will do anything they can to resist having to return to work, and they expect to be paid. And those people, I guess, are going to all be voting Democrat in November, and this is what this is the future of America. Welcome to multicultural America.
Well, and you talk about the people who are out of work because of the first so-called stimulus package that the government agreed to. These people are making more not working than they were working because you're getting your unemployment plus gives on top of that. So now the businesses who are trying to come back as restrictions are being lifted somewhat, who would want to go back and work to make less than they're making sitting at
home?
Only
the type of person that thinks that working is ennobling and that you ought to pull your own weight in society and do something productive. If you liberate yourself from those thoughts, then you're right. These people, it's just a matter of, you know, show me the money. Let me count up the money I can make if I'm employed versus how much money will I make if I'm unemployed. And, you know, I'm going where the money is. That's what they're going to do. That's the type of thinking that our government is encouraging in today's America.
Well, it is great to look out across this desk and see friends, really family here with us. Rich, Janice, Matt, all of our kids are in the studio tonight. Well, I say all. We have two kids and a friend of our wife. Everybody's in here tonight. And I hate that it was an unfortunate circumstance that brought us together, but we are happy to be together nonetheless. And again, a quick tribute to our friend Chris, who had passed away very suddenly and unexpectedly in his 40s, left behind a wife and four children. Good guy, solid guy. And
we love stuff like this. We fly by the seat of our pants, folks. This is the way we do it. That's the way we roll.
Well, it's some of the best shows come that way. But we do want to remember Chris, who has passed, and we look forward to seeing him again as we inherit, as he did this week, the kingdom of heaven. And so to Chris, you know, I hate it's always hard to lose one of the good guys.
That's right. And at a young age, too. He was cut off in the prime.
All right, we'll be back. We're going to turn the show over to Janice when we come back, and we're going to be talking about the proper roles of men and women in relationships and building healthy families. We'll see what she has to say. She always has to say something good. We'll be right back. And then Rich in the third hour.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
There's a new scare from the coronavirus in New York. A disease that may be linked to the virus is affecting small children. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo spoke about a mysterious illness that has now taken the lives of three children in the state.
Toddler, elementary school children are presenting symptoms similar to Kawasaki disease or toxic shock-like syndrome.
He says it affects children's blood vessels and potentially the heart. The state health department is studying 73 cases in which children with the syndrome have COVID-19 antibodies or tested positive for the coronavirus. The major U.S. airline trade group, Airlines for America, says it backs the idea of checking the temperatures of passengers and some employees during the coronavirus pandemic. This is USA Radio News.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for health care. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The unemployment rate increased to 14.7% in April, USA's John Clemens reports.
Eleni Karageorge of the Bureau of Labor Statistics has a report that confirms the U.S. economy has entered a recession that surpasses the Great Recession that began in 2007.
Total non-farm payroll employment fell by 20.5 million in April, and the unemployment rate rose to 14.7%. The changes in these measures reflect the effects of the coronavirus pandemic and efforts to contain it. Employment fell sharply in all major industry sectors, with particularly heavy job losses in leisure and hospitality. This is the highest rate and the largest over-the-month increase in the history of the series.
Televangelist Jim Baker is recovering at his North Carolina home after having a stroke. The 80-year-old is okay, but he's taking a break from filming his TV show, according to his wife, Lori. In March, he was sued, accusing him of selling a fake coronavirus cure. This is USA Radio News.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, folks, a big transition now from news and current events to some other topics of interest. And I was talking to Janice before the show tonight, and I said, you know, we talk about a lot of things on the show that I hope people are interested in. But one thing that everybody can relate to, no matter if they're man or woman, no matter what age, no matter what season of life they're in, are relationships, particularly male and female relationships. And to that end, we have been talking behind the scenes for a couple of weeks about bringing her back to continue with some of the thoughts that she had during her appearance and the commentary she delivered during the Valentine's Day show, Ladies Night, back in February. So, Janice, welcome back. It's always great to talk to you.
Hi.
What do you got for us tonight?
Well, I got thinking about this because I had two women that I highly respect come and tell me that I said a lot about women in the February 14th broadcast, but not enough they didn't think about men. And so I thought tonight I would kind of look at the role of men within the family and within society. And this is actually going to be from a real biblical perspective, but I think that there are principles that even if you do not believe in God, that they are they're vital for your life also. I know that my parents were unbelievers, yet unbeknownst to them, they were actually following a lot of biblical principles throughout their life. Things like, you know, my father provided for the family. They stayed married. They raised us girls, and they took care of all of our needs. That's all biblical perspectives and principles. And so that's where I'm going to kind of go from.
Well, I like a guest like you. Now, we don't have the opportunity often. Most of our interviews are obviously over the telephone for logistical sake and financial sake. But because of why we're all together tonight, we talked about that earlier. Janice and Rich are actually in the studio here with Keith and yours truly. And Janice has brought in a very neatly well-written outline. So we're just going to let her take over.
Oh, no.
I like somebody who comes prepared.
Well, if you need to... But in,
I'll
please
be ready.
Please feel. So I thought we should look at the very beginning. In Genesis 1, it talks about that God made man in his image. So all you fellas, you are made in the image of God. So you need to know him intimately, especially if you're a believer. And he gave you dominion over the earth. All this stuff of global warming and blah, blah is just a ruse. You're supposed to have dominion over this land. And he got looking around in Genesis 2, seeing that, you know, all the animals, they all have a partner, and there's no one for man. And so he put a sleep on Adam, and he formed Eve. And what's really neat is all the other creation, the stars, the sun, the earth, the water, the land, all the animals, God just spoke them into existence by his words. But man, he formed him out of the dust and blew in life into his nostrils. Then he took a rib from man and formed woman. We're the only creatures on this earth. We are not animals. We're different than them. So he made Eve so he would not be alone. She was called his helpmeet, not his master, not his slave. She's neither one of those things, but his helpmeet, his best friend. Then we get into the bad thing of Genesis 3. And this is the one thing that I need to really point to women. It is one of our flaws. We are easily deceived. Satan easily deceived by Satan in the form of a serpent. And Adam, when he ate of the fruit, knew exactly what he was doing. I think he did not want to be separated from his newfound wife. So she was deceived. And because of that, Adam would now have to toil to make food and to provide for his family, where before it was just for the taking. Just take the fruit, take the grain, whatever they needed. But woman would have sorrow or pain in childbirth, and she would always strive to control her woman. And that is a bad point, that even as a believer, that you constantly have to make sure you're not doing, is trying to rule over your husband, because God is a God of order, and God is the one that set up the order of things. The husband is supposed to be the head of the house. He is to rule his wife and his children, but not like a tyrant, but, you know, in a loving manner. So, and I think that in a lot of ways, these kind of problems within the families are not being addressed by pastors anymore. They're just, you know, it's all fluff and feel-good stuff. It's nothing to actually correct bad behavior, whether it's a wife who is tries to be the boss, or a husband who is trying to rule by like a tyrant. And I've seen both. I think all of us can say that we have seen both of these. In my personal opinion, I think one of the worst things that men ever did was to give, and I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of flack for this one, was to give women the right to vote.
Oh, no, I agree 100%.
Well, you might, but I think there's going to be women out there that are going to be screaming their heads off. I think what happened with that is that it, you know, this led not only women voting, but then women holding office. Well, you know what? I'm a female, and I know one thing. I think I'm pretty logical, but I'm not always totally logical. And a lot of times, women are fooled by their emotions to think something is right that really is not good. Not good for the family, not good for the nation. And so, you know.
Well, Jenny, just a quick interjection. I can remember Keith Alexander and I being a part of a big story back in 2016 in the run-up to the election. We actually talked about God's law and how the man should be the head of the house. And how could you argue that if God gave man dominion over his home, that there should be a woman over the White House? And we talked about that with regard to Hillary mm-hmm. Clinton, you know, our national home. And, you know, of course, we were mocked quite roundly in the the media, but I think it holds
yes.
court.
Look at Gretchen, what's her name, up in Michigan, or the one in New Mexico. They're horrible. I mean, they shouldn't be dog catcher, let alone governors. But then, you know, that it didn't stop there. That opened the door for feminism, free love, and faultless divorces. And then we had come along LBJ's Great Society. All of a sudden, women don't need a man, except for a sperm donor. You know, what do I need a man for to protect me or to provide for me when I have sugar daddy government to do it for me?
All right. Keith's talking off mic, and that's why there's a little pause here. But anyway.
And I think that it's time for men to regain their rightful place within the family and within society. And it is going to have to start with how you treat your wife and how you raise your children. It's going to have to be that way. I'm thankful that I do know men that are good husbands and good fathers. But Deuteronomy 6:7 plants squarely on the father the responsibility of educating their children. The wife, you know, a lot of times wives may have to be the one that implements it, but it should be the husband that is actually overseeing everything that's going to be taught to their children, the manner in which it's going to be taught to them. And it's and this is especially also with spiritual matters. Husbands should be the spiritual leaders of their family. They should be the ones that are teaching their children biblical truths, or telling their wife exactly what to teach in biblical truths. This is not the government school's job. This is not the church's job. This is a father's job. And, you know, you've got to be able to do that. You've got to start picking up and doing what you're supposed to do as a father. And, you know, men are supposed to be the providers, protectors, and the priest of his home. And this doesn't mean that a woman can't work. And I know in some instances, a woman might have to work outside the home. But their first responsibility really is still to their husband, their children, and then their house. And Proverbs 31 is a perfect example of that, how women can still be work, but yet and be.
Well, you hear the music, but I was about to say, as soon as you mentioned Proverbs, folks, the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament is just filled. I was going to say littered, but it's not littered. It's filled with great words to live by if you're looking for a healthy relationship, a well-formed relationship, and a way to build the foundation of your family, which is the building block of our society and civilization. We'll be right back with Janice. Stay tuned.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, welcome back, everybody. It's a show that we hadn't planned for, a show that we sort of scrapped and rebuilt just a couple of days ago as a result of the passing of one of our friends, with other friends coming in town. to attend the funeral service, and we put it all back together again, and I'm so glad it worked out this way, if for not the circumstances. But we're spending a couple of segments right now talking about important family dynamics, what the ingredients are to a relationship that works, and the male and female roles and how they are defined by God. And I like peppering these segments in on occasion on the program because, as I said just before the break, this is the foundation of our society, the family. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to build a society upon that block, that it needs to be a healthy society. And so we're talking with Janice right now about traditionalism within the home, and she's doing a fantastic job. And we've got her for one more segment before we go to her husband, Janice.
All right. I don't think I need to finish up anymore on the Proverbs 31. I think as long as a woman first does put her husband and her family and her household before any job, that you can work still. But one thing I wanted, the next thing I was going to go to is I went to college to be a teacher, and I taught in a private school. And even as in a private school, I saw that educators seem to be focusing only on the success of girls. And they've done that ever since then. They want to let girls know they can be whatever they want to be. And the world has pushed our boys to the back and our girls into the workforce. And this is the exact opposite of what God intends. God does not intend for women to be the providers of a family. He expects men to be it. But when we are denigrating our boys and making them feel small and unimportant, I mean, it's just wrong. But how can we fix this? It would be nice if pastors would start preaching God's truth and actually help families to have a biblical perspective of how they should look at the family. But I think it's going to have to do, since most pastors are kind of neutered, it's going to have to come down to each one of you men by yourself. And even if you're not a believer, you can still live by biblical principles. But if you are a believer, you need to become godly, a godly man. You need to and live by godly principles. You need to, and to do that, I want us to look at Ephesians 5. And I was going to read it, but for the sake of time, I won't. You all, anybody who is a Christian can look it up and read it themselves. But it's how husbands are to treat to love their wives and how to deal with their children. And it does say something about women, but I think I went through that one in February. And so the big thing is that as a believing husband, you're supposed to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And Christ died for the church. He lived a sinless life, and then he died on the cross to become our Passover lamb, to save us from sin. And then we're told that men are to love themselves, their life, their wife, as he loves himself. What man isn't going to take care of himself? What man isn't going to get what he needs? What man isn't going to do what he needs to be done for himself? But there are too many husbands out there that it's all for them, and they don't take care of the needs of their wife and their children. And I know about that personally, not with Richard.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yes,
very much. As he sits about 2 feet from you. Not a lot of social distancing in this studio tonight, by the way.
And my point is, if you cannot love your wife the way you love yourself, if you cannot care for her needs the way you care for your needs or even your wants, then you need to look squarely at yourself and see what in the world is wrong with you. Because if you can't do this, you have the problem. It is not your wife. Your wife cannot make you happy. Believe me, happiness comes from yourself. She can help enhance it, but she can't do that for you. But, you know, it does make sure, you know, it's amazing how some men can make sure that their every want and desire is taken care of and fulfilled, and the needs of his wife and children are neglected. And I just think that you need to really look at things in this way. As a husband and a father, your first obligation is to take care of the needs of your family. And marriage is not a 50-50 proposition. It's 100-100%. Both parties need to be in it 100%. Both sides are to give their all to their marriage and to their children. And then it talks in Ephesians 6:4 about how a father is not to provoke his children to anger, but to nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. It also tells us in Proverbs that you are to, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. But the whole thing is in our, what I've seen in our society today is too many people, it's stop that Johnny, stop that Johnny, stop that Johnny 1,000 times, and then you're angry, and then you discipline. And I think that's what they're talking about, not provoking your children to anger. You need to be firm and take care of it after the first time. And because a parent's job is to raise their children to learn how to handle and control their passions and their anger and learn to become adults. And I think that that fact of teaching your children to be an adult is lost on our society. And then back to husbands and wives, Eve was the one that was more easily led into error. We are the weaker vessels, and it says that that men are to be dwell with their wives with this understanding that we're the weaker vessels. I lost my place.
there's no mistakes in live radio. Don't worry about it.
But the whole thing is that women are different. We live by our feelings. Men are logical, and men need to live with our differences of being kind of led away sometimes. And it's very important for men to be well grounded in the Word, so their wife does not get pulled away into biblical error. He is the head of his family's spiritual life, and he is to be he is to lead them in all godliness. And it also talks, this is something, men, you really ought to take this for heart. It talks in 1 Corinthians that the man is the glory of God and that women are the glory of men. What better position should any man ever have than to be the glory of God and to be the head of his family? And the last point I want to bring out is women are responders. If you treat us bad, we're going to respond that way. And if you treat us well, we will respond with more love. And I think men need to understand that the way that you treat us is a real key. And it's in one thing I love in the Bible, it says, quit ye and be men. So if you're a believer, you need to be the spiritual leader of your home. You need to know the Word of God and lead your family in all truth. All men, love your wife as yourself. If you can't examine yourself and correct your view of yourself, your wife can't make you happy. And God has given you the responsibility of being the provider, protector, and priest of your family to rule your home, wife, and children well, and do it in love.
Janice, I think you were right. I think we could have gone 3 hours on this topic. That was a fantastic and very well-organized presentation. And I will tell you this. If we had a nation of women with that mindset, we would be a much stronger and much healthier nation. And I appreciate you for speaking the truth.
Well, we also need more men like you and Richard who want to lead their families, because it's really important to have the men behind it all.
Well, thank you for saying that. And your perspective is particularly insightful, because as you shared with me, and as of course I have known from knowing you and your husband and your family for many years, you've been from both sides. It's not always, life isn't always you marry your first love and you live happily ever after. Sometimes there's a lot of hardships, and you have to, as one of the songs at the funeral today, you have to traverse that broken road before you find God's purpose. So you've been in
Yeah, I always
well,
say,
I'll let you say it.
I was a Leah wife, and now I'm a Rachel wife. Go look it up in Genesis, and you'll find it.
And that's that's because you were you know you had a marriage before this.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you had to reform Rich or anything. I mean, when you found Rich, it was a totally
you
didn't you weren't the Leah and Rachel wife as a. In this singular marriage. I just wanted to be clear.
Two different husbands, completely different people. They treat me completely different. And all I can say is, I thank the Lord the day I met Richard.
Well, I do too, because he brought you to us and our wider family, and we're better for it. Y'all are two individuals, a couple. That we love very dearly and think so highly of. Thank you for continuing on the conversation tonight.
Thanks for having me.
No, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. I wish we could have done it longer, but we got to get to this grizzled old veteran over here in the third hour. But thank you, Janisa. That's an important topic. It is probably the most important of topics that we cover here.